Win £100,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. The jackpot must be won this week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Thank you very much for tuning in for the second of 3 from the Horse's Mouth podcast that we're going to be landing this weekend. We've already got Fran Fridays with Fran in the bag. If you haven't listened to that ahead of Friday at Dundalk, do so now. It's great crack. And Fran's already pointed to a couple of horses at the Curragh as well. And now it's time for Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy to discuss a very busy Friday afternoon of racing on ITV. Rory, you probably have a better idea than I do. 10 live races on a Friday afternoon on ITV. That's possibly a record.
Pretty much unheard of.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. That's fantastic. It means you've been busy.
Even we had that, we lost the day at Cheltenham and they had to get 10 races in on the Thursday. We still didn't get 10 races on ITV that day, did we?
Wow. Yeah.
It was Channel 4 days.
It was Channel 4 days. But still, we didn't get 10 races in Channel 4 either. So we're
10 and 11, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they were the 10, 11 day. It was the wind, wasn't it, at that time? But yeah, brilliant stuff. To be fair to ITV, and I've absolutely nothing in the ITV court. They have been brilliant for racing. They show us so much of it, and it's great to have. We've got a great mixture of flat and jumps. Before I bring the lads in, and we're going to skip through as many races as we can, just a reminder, Paddy's Pick 5 will be back. By the time you listen to this, hopefully the races will be announced. Check the show notes and you can get a link straight to it. Again, 4 out of 5 last week. Rory, if I was to tell you one horse that left, the one customer, I think there's a couple of customers who got through to 4 out of 5. If I was to tell you one horse from last Saturday that let them down, have a guess. She was short. There's a clue. And in a group
Saffron one. Beach.
There you go. Yeah.
If you ask me most weeks, name a horse that ran last Saturday, I would not be guaranteed to get that right. Name a horse who ran this Saturday 40 years ago. I could reel them off to you. But that's a scary question for me.
We were having a good chat on Fridays with Fran about the second colours of Judmont having a particularly good record in derbies. And we couldn't think of the horse who carried the first colours in Workforce's derby. Could you? Straight off the top? There.
No, not the top of my head. No, no.
No, but I could have told you Tenby carried the first colours.
Tenby was easy, yeah.
Ah, we couldn't get that one. I was throwing out like Rainbow Quest and all sorts of, bad ones.
That one was the easy one, Mick Cannan. And they could have been the third colours, actually. Mick Cannan wore, he wore the white cap.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Green cap a second, isn't it?
Yeah.
Green cap second, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what were the green cap?
That's surely
wore tickets to Punchestown or whatever the hell you're giving away. What wore the green cap when Tenby wore the peak and pink and Commander of Chief wore the white?
Thank you, Ruby. We have free tickets to Punchestown. It's actually easier. All you got to do is quote tweet any tweet regarding this show. Put the hashtag from the horses about there, FTHM, and you'll be in the draw. And as I said before on Fridays with Fran, when I say you're in the draw, you've got an excellent chance if you just retweet. You've got an excellent chance. So tickets to Punchestown, we're going to be sponsoring the card. Ruby will be there. I'll be there. Mark will be there. I don't think Ruby. Ruby, you're working for ACTV that day, yeah?
Tuesday. No, I'm not. No, I will be there. And sorry, Rory. Oh. Rory, I rudely talked across you as you were about to tell us something there a second ago.
No, it's all right. I was going to say that derby is an interesting one from a betting point of view as well, because one of the most famous betting disputes of all time came out of that. The placed horses were, I think, 150-1 and 250-1. Blue Judge, which in Bulger's was one of them.
Oh.
And somebody in a Ladbrokes shop had the tri-cast, but there was no tri-cast declared for non-handicaps at that stage. So there was no dividend, and I think they initially paid him the straight forecast, which is quite good, but he wasn't happy with that. So they decided they would think about it a bit more, and they had declared, they did a bet called the trio at the time, which was the first three in any order. And the trio dividend was pretty big anyway. So they offered him that, and it was like, I don't know, they offered him 80 grand or something like that. Oh. And he would have got more than that for the tri-cast, or they offered him 30 grand, that would have been 80 grand, whatever it was. He refused to take that and went to court with it. And when he turned up in court, it turns out he was 17. So they paid him nothing at all.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Did he not talk to someone about...
What was his name? Rory DeLargy?
No. I was off age at that stage. I was betting long before it, but I wouldn't have disputed anything at that stage. I believe he was warned. Someone said, you must take this offer because your chances are you'll get nothing more. And I think David Ashworth of the Racing Post spoke to him.
And his name is David Ashworth.
No, and the lad wouldn't have it at all. And then, of course, he ended up getting, he got a stake back because it was a void bet.
God. Oh, that's... Okay,
the court prosecute Ladbrokes for taking a bet off an underage punter.
Well, yeah, that's that was the other possibility with that. But of course, you wouldn't. There was no great onus on proving your age in the 80s, really. Yeah, things have changed since.
Yeah, different game nowadays.
I say 80s. That was early 90s, wasn't that? Of course,
different game nowadays for sure.
Did even have ID back then?
Well, I certainly didn't. Yeah. I had no idea of any sort at that stage.
I had one that got me into the Palace. It wasn't official.
I think we all had those, PK.
Made off
a Commodore 64 or something.
Yeah. It's near enough. Lamination wasn't great now. But it got me in anyway. I don't think the bouncers really looked at it at all. We do need some winners for Friday afternoon racing. It's a very busy one, so let's get cracking, lads. We're going to start with the card at Newmarket, and then we'll make our way to Chepstow and York. What a cracking day of Friday. We have the Cornwallis Stakes to kick things off. It's the 150. It's a 5 furlong Group 3. Prince of Pillow is the 11-to-1 favourite at the time of recording. And we are recording, by the way, on Thursday, just gone afternoon. So there'll be loads of price changes. But anyway, Prince of Pillow, 11-to-1. Crispy Cat, Ryan Moore on board for Michael O'Callaghan, 7-to-2. Rogue Spirit is 13-to-2. 8-to-1 Wodeo for Donegal Bryan and double figure odds. The remainder. Okay, Rory DeLarge, let's hope you remember a horse running on Friday next week, having won this race, having you tipped it up.
the low draw should be beneficial here because on Friday, the stalls will be against the far side rail. On Saturday, the stalls will be against the near side rail for the straight track at Newmarket. And the rail will be an advantage both times, but it will suit the high numbers on Saturday, the low numbers on Friday. And the best of the speed comes to the low numbers here with Prince of Pillow, Rogue Spirit and Wodao all going forward. And I think whoever wins that battle might win the race. Prince of Pillow is the obvious one because he showed improved form to run at a very comfortable winner of a listed race at Ayr last time out, beating Bold Action 3.5 lengths. If he repeats that, he'll go very close. He did start a little slowly that day, which didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. If he misses the start slightly here, then he won't be able to take advantage of his draw in stall one. And if he doesn't lead from stall one, he could easily find himself hemmed in that rail. And I don't think they'll be moving off the rail either. They'll obviously walk the track and find out where the fastest strip is. There's a possibility they'll come up the centre. But with the stalls on the far rail, that's a concern for me at a short price for Prince of Pillow. And I'm coming round to Rogue Spirit at a bigger price. Now, he's coming up from nurseries. If you want to throw the negatives in with him, he was beaten in a nursery off a mark of 89 at York in August, and then he won a nursery at Haydock off a mark of 88, but both times ridden by Conor Planners, who was claiming £7 off him. So you can argue that he's only really won off a mark of 81, and this is a big step up in class. He did look a different horse last time, dropped back to 5 furlongs again. He travelled really strongly at York. He looked a danger with a furlong to go. He was only maybe a neck down at the furlong pole in a very, very strong nursery, and then faded quite badly in the last 100 yards. They dropped him back to 5 furlongs at Haydock, and he was really impressive. He disputed the lead, but raced within himself. And then when he was asked to stretch, he stretched really, really well from the furlong pole to win by 2.5 lengths. So I think the drop back to 5 furlongs has been the making of Rogue Spirit. He was a bit problematic in the preliminaries there. He got into a bit of a muck sweat, and it looked like he might throw his chance away before the race, but actually he ended up showing improved form. So if you get a chance to see him in the paddock, you'd quite like to see him quite on his toes. If he's very calm, that might be a bad sign, given that he showed improved form when he was sweating up and on his toes last time. I am a little bit concerned about the step up in class, but he didn't need to lead last time to win well. So even if he doesn't get to the front from stall two, as long as he's able to track the pace, I think he'd give his running. And I don't think he's got a better chance on paper than the favourite, but I think at the prices, with the possibility of Prince of Pillow getting trapped on the rail, I think Rogue Spirit might be the value.
Ichiwezi?
No, because horses with his profile can blow out quite badly, stepped up in class. So although there's a fair chance he gets placed, that's not the kind of horse I like backing for a place. So I'll back him win only and take my medicine if he ends up finishing second or third.
it's for another podcast altogether, but trying to explain a win-only bet at a price of 13 to 2 or thereabouts to a lot of people will take some explaining, but I get you. Rogue Spirit, winner bust. He's win-only. Ruby?
I'm going to take a chance on Wedeo for Dunnock O'Brien. I'm purely going through the Antarctic. Look, Antarctic beat Wedeo twice at Tipperary and Naas in April and May, and then was behind Wedeo at Tipperary in June. I thought, look, he's far behind Blackbeard, obviously, at Newmarket last week. He's rock strong, he's rock solid even. So I just think this is, you're talking about Rogue Spirit coming up from nurseries. Yeah, I'm just going to take a chance on Wedeo. We haven't seen him in a while, but I'm hoping he's going to be ready enough.
Donegal O'Brien with Wedeo, Gavin Ryan over to ride. So a couple of nice prices there from the lads. And the first on ITV from Newmarket, the ITV4, I should say. That is the 150. 225 is the oh so sharp stakes. Wide open renewal of this 7 furlong race for the 2-year-old fillies. 9-2 joint favourites at the time of recording. Crystallium. Let's go with that one. Rage of Bambi, who are both dual winners. The Unbeaten, Lose Yourself, Ross Orion and Ray Beckett is 5-1, only half a point bigger. Small Oasis, 6-1, 7-1, Believing, and 7-1, Youngest for Roger Varian and William Buick in those Sheikh Obeid colours. Nice 2-year-old one at Nottingham earlier in the week in those colours. Okay, Ruby, this race, we're going an extra place on the Paddy Power website, 4 places. So you'd need it potentially given the makeup of the race.
You would. And I'm going to take a chance on one as well. I'm going to go for number one, drawn in stall 8, and that is Believing. Had a cracking run in there behind Barefoot Angel last time out. I thought Barefoot Angel was slightly unlucky in Redcar last week. When he came out of the stalls, decided to go left, got stuck behind a wall of horses under Oisin Ore, eventually came back right and ran on really well late in the day behind Cold Case at Redcar. So I think the form is strong enough. I think it's a deep contest, but I just thought Believing was good value at 7-1. And for Kevin Stott and George Bowie, I'm going to go with Believing. At both of these two-year-old races, and there seems to be a lot of them over the last while, even though they're black type races, group threes and Lister races, there's so many of them and the form lines are quite scattered. I find it hard to get a handle on them, and I'm going to go for Believing here.
But you do like that form line with Barefoot Angel. Yeah, I was feeling for both of like you. You both put her up, didn't you, last weekend? And yeah, I think any other day she probably would have won. Believing 7-1 at the time recording. Rory?
Yeah, I think connections of the winner at Redcar might disagree with our assertion there. The tactics were wrong. I mean, there tends to be that bias towards the low numbers at Redcar, but you can't sort of come from a very high draw and hope that you can make the far rail. And the time she got there, she had very little chance. And the winner's won very well and could be a good horse, but she would have been a clear second at worst if she just stayed to her draw. And ironically, he ended up coming out the middle anyway, the winner, Cold Case. Yeah, I agree with everything Ruby said there about Believing. I'd rate that form pretty highly at Ayr. And she has a very solid each way chance. I wouldn't put you off backing her each way, but I will go with Rage of Bambi from stall one. Again, I'm more than happy to stick with the low draws here, but she's got the best form in the race anyway. She won her first two starts. She was very impressive at Leicester early last month. She pulled 3.5 lengths clear, showed a really smart turn of foot. She made all the running, but it was the turn of foot she showed at the end of the race that impressed me. She then finished third to Commissioning. She was the only one to really give Commissioning a race in the Rockfell last time out, and she was almost level. She made a fair bit of the running or disputed the lead. Commissioning then came through to lead, and she closed her down again with a furlong to go, and it looked like it might be close before Commissioning's pulled away. And then Richard Bambi's got nabbed by one coming from further back for second late on. But I thought she shaped like the second best filly on the day. That's been progress in each of her three starts to date. And her pedigree suggests she's going to keep getting better. And she'll stay a mile, I would have thought. But the 7 furlongs at Newmarket should be stiff enough for her. She'll be handy from her draw. Again, the concern if you're backing horses drawn low here is that if they don't get away well and they get, you know, poor track position. But she's either made the running or been very handy on her three starts to date. So she should take a very good position from stall one. Everything looks like it's going to work out nicely for her. It's an open enough race. And again, I agree with Ruby about trying to tie in these disparate form lines from different listed and group races and indeed good novices. There are lots of conflicting messages in the form. And these races are never the easiest to unpick. But Rachel Bambi looks pretty solid to me here.
Founding member of the Eve Johnson Houghton fan club this season, Rory De Largy throws in another one now. Since Royal Ascot.
It won't be the last one.
No, since Royal Ascot. And she did. What, she had three runners of Royal Ascot with two winners of the place?
No, right? that was that was another female trainer.
Oh, God, it was Jane Chappell Hyam. Yeah, sorry.
Well, you know, they're both sort of double barrels. And
yeah, female trainers. Yeah, yeah, no. Okay, so Eve Johnson.
They're all the same, aren't they? Yeah. That's what you're saying, really.
Cancelled.
Yeah.
Straight away. Right, 3 o'clock is the now weekly group one or group two over 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds and upwards that we've had since, go back to Newbury's Hungerford Stakes, I suppose. Sacred is the 5-4 favourite for William Haggis and Tom Marcand. 11-4 Pogo, who we discuss weekly. 7-1 Purple Pay, another one for William Haggis. You've got Oscula, Ryan Moore booked for that one at 10s. 11-1 Jumbie for Eve Johnson Houghton, and 11-1 Cultum and 14s Bar. Back to you, Rory, for this race. We keep on seeing these horses. The form is there.
We do indeed, and I'm always sweet on Pogo in these races. Apart from once when I thought things weren't going to pan out for him. That was, I think, at Goodwood. When he ran, I thought he ran very well to be third in the Lennox. His form has panned out very well this season. His only below par run in the UK this year was when he raced as part of a smaller group in the middle of the track in the Hungerford. And he didn't really do enough, I didn't think. I mean, he's a horse who's best when leading and trying to battle. And he ended up racing in a small group at Newbury, not getting to the front and not really showing his form as a result. He wasn't disgraced, beating 2.5 lengths in the end. You can't, you know, it's hardly a terrible run. But otherwise, he's been very, very consistent. He was a winner of the Criterion Stakes where he was very, very game. In June, he was narrowly beaten, having had to do a lot of work in the Lennox. And then he came back to form when second in the City of York Stakes. Again, probably the strongest 7-furlong race in this country. Last time out, beaten only by Ken Ross. Ken Ross, of course, has gone on and won the best 7-furlong race in Europe last time out. What's not to like? He's also drawn a stall one and he wants to lead. So everything looks in place for Pogo to do his usual thing of bouncing out and asking them to pass him.
Got bouncing in there. Well done. Well done, Rory, right at the end. Ruby's just rubbing his eyes in disbelief. He's been well back, Pogo, by the way, 9-2 into 11-4 over the last 24 hours. Ruby?
Yeah, it's a question of, does he get away down the hill into the dip and Sacred can't get him back or not? She'll be held up. Pogo will go forward. I think it's between the two of them. She's drawn and stalled 7, so you imagine she's going to be challenging wide of him down, somewhat down the middle of the track. But I was impressed with her the last day, and I think she will get to Pogo in the last 100 yards and just do him. I'm with Sacred.
Going head to head at the top of the market there. And the way that Rory was talking about Pogo, obviously still to come. The feeling he might be napping that one. 3:35 is the big one on Friday at Newmarket, the Filly's Mile commissioning. Now, an interesting betting angle to this filly. She's 4-7 at the time of recording for Jonathan Thady Gosden. She's unbeaten. She was a big drifter when she won last time. Now, maybe it's just a case of the price was wrong, but I remember talking on this very podcast at her at 7-4 for that win in the Rockville. And she went off, I think, 7-2. So she doubled in price for that race. I think, Rory, going back to you, you basically avoided her pretty much on a price angle because we'd only seen her once and she was 7-4 and you thought, no, that's not for me. But she was very impressive in the end, wasn't she?
She was very impressive. The only thing she did vaguely wrong in that race is when she hit the front in the first place, she was inclined to think she'd maybe done enough. And she idled for a few strides. But when she was joined then, and when she was challenged again by Rage of Bambi, she picked up very well and put almost 3 lengths between herself and the runner-up at the line. And indeed, she put, 4 lengths between herself and Rage of Bambi in the last furlong and a half. So that was a very impressive performance. I wouldn't be in a rush to back her for the guineas. And she's been talked up for that. But, you know, I've seen fillies like her before who look really, really good at two. She's not some... I'm not sure she's the scopiest for the future. But again, I'm looking at next year. I could be wrong there. Two-year-old fillies can be deceiving in that regard. But she clearly has the best form here. And she's a hard horse to be against in this race. You know, little things can go wrong in races like this, especially, again, if they do look to stay on the far rail rather than racing up the centre, which they did last time. I think the stall's in the centre last time anyway, and she came on the far side of the track. there's always a possibility she runs into traffic problems here. And, you know, that's something to bear in mind when you're backing horses at 8 to 13 or 4 to 7. So she's not for me, but I don't really see a really solid bet against her.
We have the dead eight at the time of recording.
The day, I mean, it looks like a screaming out for an each way bet. And the first horse you look at in that regard, who's going to be a reasonable price again, is Polly Pott, who, of course, won the May Hill last time out. The more I look at that, the more I think, I mean, that was her fourth consecutive win. And of course, all the form judges were told, you guys just don't rate wins high enough. She was only winning off 70 in her previous start, but, you know, she's going to win a Group Two. That race panned out really nicely for her. I think Doncaster suited her really well. It's a track that when they go fast, suits horses coming from the very back of the field. Newmarket doesn't as much. I mean, obviously, any race where they go too fast early on, the hold-up horses tend to do fairly well. But the setup of Newmarket makes it difficult to come with a long, sweeping run in the same way as Doncaster does. And I think Polly Pott's slightly flattered by that. I mean, it'd be great to see her run well here. I'd love to see her turn into a Guineas filly because she's going to be trained by Ben Pauling next season. So that would be an interesting scenario with Ben Pauling having runners in classic races, which people wouldn't have expected before. And there's been a few people, sounding incredulous about that. But the people who own Polly Pott it's just a family from Leeds who got a few bob, and they had a Cheltenham Festival winner early in the season. And now they're looking to end the season with a Group One on the flat. I'd love to see it happening, but I can't bring myself to back her each way. I don't think this race will pan out for her, but that's very much head overruling heart.
Yeah.
So I think what I'll do, I'll just make commissioning my selection there, but I'll make it clear that I will not be breaking the piggy bank to have a big bet on her.
That's fine. You could do the related double, Rage of Bambi and commissioning, right? I mean, it's not related, but you know, it's a sort of related double, right? Right? Sort of kind of related. Because the form line there from Rage of Bambi, if she wins commissioning, may even shorten. Ruby, it's a filthy each way race. Come on, give us something at a filthy each way price.
Sparkling Beauty. I know Wade didn't exactly bolster the form in the pre-Marcel Boussac last week when she ran disappointing behind Blue Rose Sen. But I did like the way Sparkling Beauty won at Goodwood. That was her all three runs have been over 7 furlongs. And I think stepping up to the mile will suit Sparkling Beauty, who is by Oasis Dream, who is a crack miler himself that Richard Hughes used to ride. And I think Sparkling Beauty is the each way angle.
Lovely. Sparkling Beauty, 10-1 at the time of recording. If you do fancy her, Library is in the race for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien, by the way, also 10-1. Bright Diamond in for Carl Burke, who's having just the most incredible season with his 2-year-olds. And Nova Kai is interesting as well for Carl Burke. William Buick on that one at 12-1. So that's the Phillies Mile at 3:35. Commissioning the token selection for Roy, but he's, as I said, not having a bet on it. But Rory going with Sparkling Beauty. The 4:10 is the Old Rowley Cup. It's a Heritage Handicap, so it's a good one. It's 1.5 miles. We're going to go 5 places, an extra place in this particular race. 9-2. It's a handicap. It's a Heritage Handicap, so you can guess what trainer's got the favourite. His name is William, and his second name is Haggis. And not only does he have the favourite, he's got the second favourite as well. He's got La Yaquelle, who's on a hat-trick. He's got Educator, new owner. An educator in the colours of King Charles. First time I've ever mentioned that. 5-1. 11-2 First Ruler for Charlie Appleby. And then 50-2 Max Hood for Hugh Morrison. And then we're into the double figure odds of the realms there. Right, Ruby, it's a good quality Heritage Handicap. It's 9-2 the field. So you going win only or each way?
It was one of those races and we had 10 to look at that I found too complicated. I don't have a selection, PK.
Puts it in the too hard column for Ruby Walsh. So the floor is yours, Mr. DeLargy.
It is very tough. And that's why I'm looking for something at a big price that might be underrated. The race I looked at as potentially the key to this was a mile and four handicap, at a Goodwood. And I'm going to correct myself again because it's an extended mile and three at Glorious Goodwood, which was won by Keyes Chorister. Won, but there are a couple of eye catchers in there behind him. He went up £7 for that and has beaten Enlisted Company next time out. He's obviously got a decent chance, but David Menuisier's form in the last few weeks has been on home soil has been in and out, and I don't want to back one at a shortish price for that reason. Olivier Pellier, very interesting booking though for Keyes Chorister. But I thought a couple of pace horses,
that is only right on the Friday, Olivier Pellier.
It may well be. I haven't.
That's very eye catching. Sorry.
So he's certainly an interesting one. But at bigger prices, the colt who was second to him, Paradias, for Alan King, I thought was quite interesting. He's drawn a stall 15, which looks like a negative draw, but there was a while in this race where the high draws used to dominate, which doesn't make an awful lot of sense, given the setup of the race. It probably works better in a really, really big field. Same way with the Cesaro, which you had a few years where horses drawn very, very wide. Horses drawn 35 were winning the Cesaro, which... but obviously, the smaller the field gets, the less likely you are to get the whole field coming across stand side. So maybe the high draw isn't an advantage at all. But I thought Paradias was interesting because he's never raced at a mile and a half. And his entire career, he's looked like he needs it. So I thought he was has the potential to improve. He stayed on really well from mid-division that day to throw down a strong challenge to Keys Chorister. Keys Chorister got first run. Paradias closed him down late and was beaten a neck. The negative, I suppose, the handicapper took quite a stiff view of that. He put the winner up £7. He put Paradias up £6. They came quite a long way clear, 4.5 lengths clear in a glorious Goodwood handicap. Suggests the form is strong. He was then beaten back at Goodwood over a shorter trip next time out. He tried to make the running that day to bring his stamina into play. It didn't suit him. He raced too freely. He ran okay. He wasn't far below that form, but he didn't run to the form. I think he'll be a lot better held up again, up in trip in a well-run race. I think Paradias could run really well. And the other one that caught the eye, because it's an even bigger price from that race, Sheer Rocks was fourth in the Goodwood race. Looked like he was going to finish about 10th with a furlong and a half to run. Stayed on really, really strongly to grab fourth on the line. Now, he's beaten 5.5 lengths in the end. But again, he's a horse who looked like he needed to step up to a mile and a half. His races before that had come over a mile and a mile and a quarter. So that was the longest trip he tackled at Goodwood. And he showed... I wouldn't say improved form because he won a race at Chester, which has worked out pretty well before that. He then went to Ascot and ran really well to be beaten less than half a length in the Shergar Cup Classic, I think they call it, the mile and a half, three-year-old handicap. Again, that form looks solid enough on paper. He didn't get a particularly good run through the race, not one of Frankie's finest moments. We had to switch a couple of times, but finished best there. He then disappointed in the Melrose at York. And the question is whether you just write that off. That was obviously up to a mile and six, which he maybe didn't stay. And maybe it was just too hot a race for him. I don't know. But I think his previous form has worked out very well. And, you know, I looked at this morning and he's 40 to one in a place. What price is he with, Paddy? Not that big.
I think he was 33s. Let me just check. I've gone to Chep's already. I've already got his Chep's though, but I know the first selection was 20 to 1. You keep talking about what he should do.
Yeah, I thought Sheer Rock should be a similar sort of price. And again, he hasn't gone up in the weights. The worry with Paradias is the £6 rise kind of takes account for that big eye-catching run anyway. Sheer Rock's ran the same race, ran off 88 at Goodwood, ran off 88 at Ascot, and is running off 88 here. So, you know, there are plenty of reasons to think he will run a solid race. Eve Johnson Horton's had a decent season. Rob Hornby's had a great season. And he looks overpriced to me. So
40,
I will...
40 to 1.
40 to 1 is is very appealing for me. Yes, he looks a little bit exposed, but he's only had one run in a mile and a half in his life. So for me, you know, you're not really exposed until you've had multiple runs at a trip that suits you best. So he definitely appeals each way, and I'll probably have a bit on Paradias as well.
Okay, it's two against the field, Paradias and Sheer Rocks at 20 to 1 and 40 to 1 respectively, and one of them's trained by Eve Johnson-Horton.
There you go.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's move to Chepstow for a weekend that always gets Jubbs fans very, very excited. The Persian War Novice weekend. Do we call it that at Chepstow? I'm not sure. Or the Silver Cup weekend at Chepstow?
You could do. Okay. I mean, it used to be, I always used to think of it as the Mercedes-Benz Handicap Chase.
Oh my God.
Because it was the first meeting in the old days that was shown on the BBC after they might very have amazing. Shown the pretemps at, the Swinton rather, at Haydock in the old days. Okay. And this was the first meeting of the season then. So, and you'd have no racing then for 3 or 4 months on BBC. No jump racing, I mean.
Yeah,
on
jump
BBC
racing.
For a few months before that. So it really felt like the jump season was starting again.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people will think that. And we've got Clough Cap, who tops the market for the first race. We're going to look at 135, which is the Veterans Chase, which he now qualifies for as a 10-year-old, or has qualified for. Ran in the Grand National when last seen. He's the 5-2 favourite for the John Joes, O'Neill, junior and senior. 11-4, the Mighty Don for Nick Gifford. 9-2, Some Chaos. Innisfree Lad, 5-1. 6-1, Broken Quest. And double figures the rest. All right, Ruby, give us the winner of the Veterans Chase as a from one veteran to another.
Cheers, BK.
No problem.
The only one with a fitness advantage here is Al Rock. He obviously ran only 4 days ago and he was third at Stratford. So the rest are making their seasonal debut and therefore pretty much should be on a level playing field. Clough Cap, he's back down to a mark of 144, but he's well capable of winning off. And I just think he has the class, too much class for these horses. I know it's an 0-150 Veterans Chase, but I don't know, Rory. Do you think that Veterans Chases were really designed for horses like Clough Cap?
Well, I think they've developed that way. You know, I think we've seen some pretty high-class horses running well in Veterans Chases. And as a concept, they've been very competitive as well. So I think maybe that wasn't the idea in the first place. It was just giving a bit of a lifeline for horses who were unable to be competitive in open handicaps. But I think that the Veterans series has really taken off. And I think if it was dominated by, you know, certain trainers with really high class horses, then I could see why that hasn't really worked. But well, the key here will be seeing how Clough Cap gets on. If he wins by 20 lengths, then he's making a bit of a mockery of it, but it might be more competitive than it looks at first glance.
I like him when you get a horse who's clearly had his problems or her problems and just hasn't really made it to the track too often. And then suddenly they figured it out and give those sort of horses a chance. Who do you fancy in the race anyway, Rory?
I like Clough Cap as well, but I can see, I've had a chat with a friend about this already and he's very much against me. But yeah, I agree with what Ruby said. He's not a Grand National horse. I don't think they'll train him for the Grand National this year because his physical frailties have come to the fore both times he's raced at Aintree. And clearly, although, you know, he's placed in the Scottish National as a novice, he needs to be treated with kid gloves. And that's why a race like this is going to be ideal for him. So I think he'll be fit for it. And if he is, a mark of 144 looks pretty lenient on the pick of his form. Doesn't look lenient on what he did subsequently last season, but he was probably at his best on his return when fourth in a decent handicap at Cheltenham first time out. That was in good to firm grind. And he's a horse who really wants good to firm for me. It was pretty fast when he won the Ladbroke Trophy, which is no longer the Ladbroke Trophy.
What's he going to call it? I was waiting for
it. I suppose man. I should call it the Coral Gold Cup. No, exactly, they now own the race in perpetuity. Yeah, listen, if he's able to show the same form he did early last season, he's going to run really well here. But there's quite a big danger in the field in the shape of Some Chaos, who's got a similar sort of profile. He is a horse with plenty of issues and his form can fall apart a little bit. So he pulled up 4 times last season, Some Chaos, but he did win this race on his reappearance off a higher mark. And he is bound to be tuned up for this. Michael Scudamore's got a good record with his chasers off a break anyway. They tend not to lack for fitness. And because he doesn't tend to hold his form together, this is kind of his plan for the year. This is his big race. And then they'll hope to get him, I don't think they'll run him very often, they'll hope to get him right for a race in the spring when the going's good again. But Some Chaos will be absolutely geared up for this. So it's a real test for Clough Cap. He needs to be almost at his current best with no room for improvement to beat Some Chaos, because you can be absolutely sure Some Chaos will be fighting fit to win this race for the second year running. And I wouldn't want to go too short on Clough Cap. I don't think I'd make him any shorter than his current price. And I think he probably ends up getting backed. At the current odds, I would be with Clough Cap. But if there's any greater differential, I would start getting tempted to come round to Some Chaos.
Okay. It's an interesting race. All the top three in the market all pulled up last night, albeit towards the back end of the season. And Some Chaos likes an old penguin chocolate bar by the looks of things. Lots of peas in his form. And a couple of seconds and thirds in there. The big race on ITV4 Chepstow on Friday is the Persian War Novice Hurdle, 2 miles, 3 furlongs and a few yards. Quid pro quo for the Skeltons and JP McManus, 13-8 favourite, 3 wins, 4 starts. Deeper Blue for Harry Fry, looking for a hat trick, is 9-2. So two ex-Paul Nicholls assistants locking horns here. Donna McCain and Brian Hughes, who of course have made hay over the summer, as you'd expect, at 9-2 at present and counting, 6-1 Scipion. Then for Tom Lacey and Paul Nicholls, who generally, and Ruby will tell us all about it. Generally, this is the meeting, Ruby, wasn't it? When you went over and you probably spent most of the summer in Ireland, you thought, right, Paul, it's time to get going. And you probably had a couple of good ones to write at this meeting.
I didn't think that. Paul Nicholls probably taught it. Right, Ruby, time to come back. But yeah, look, he runs Outlaw Peter. I think hard to fancy. Was only workman-like when he won at Kempton back in May over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Thought Harry Cobden had to pretty much ask for everything that Outlaw Peter had. I thought he was opposable. I think Quid Pro Quo is favourite and the most likely winner. But I think the horse I'll be keeping an eye on is Scipion of Tom Lacey's. I think there's a big race to be won with Scipion or a decent handicap, maybe a Pretemps qualifier or something like that at Aintree or Cheltenham in the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks. This trip would be too short for him, but I think Scipion could ultimately end up the best of these.
All right, so he's into the horse tracker, but Quid Pro Quo as far as Friday afternoon is concerned. Rory?
It's always tempting to find the best prospect for this race, and it frequently goes that way. But I'm going to go for one who could not be more exposed, probably the most exposed horse ever to run in the Persian War, Present and Counting. He's an 8-year-old now. He's well known as a handicap chaser, best on a sound surface. But he's been very good over hurdles on his last few starts. He won by a mile at Bangor in August. Now, that was a small field race. There wasn't any depth to it. He's 10-1 on, but Brian Hughes let him do his own thing there. And he ended up winning in a very, very good time. He was then even shorter at Sedgefield than his next 1-50. He was sent off. I'm not sure I'd have been getting stuck in that racing day. But although he started favourite at Worcester last time out, he was a much bigger price, 11-4. That's because that was the final of the Fixed Brush handicap series. Used to have that as a different race at Haydock, and they got rid of their Fixed Brush hurdles. But they haven't won now at Worcester, where they have qualifying races through the summer. And that should have been reasonably competitive, and he turned it into a procession. In a 12-runner race. He looked absolutely different class off a mark of 125. Clearly, the handicapper had misjudged what he'd been doing early in the season. As I said, that run at Bangor, because it was a small field, you almost ignore that and go, well, he was entitled to do that, as he did. But you've got to look at what these horses are doing against the clock as well. We know how solid his chase form is. We know that he's vulnerable on softish ground. But it was just the soft side of good, but he won at Worcester. And he just looks better than ever. There's going to be a couple of horses in this race who improve past him in the next few months. But I think with fitness on his side and running at his very peak at the moment, he might surprise them here. He's 9-2, and I think that in terms of the form that they've shown over hurdles, that's too big. I think he's actually got the best form in the race. There are a couple of horses, the two that Ruby mentions, Quid Pro Quo and Scipion, have both got the potential to be a lot better than they've shown so far and have shown a lot of promise. But Present and Counting's got the form in the book, and sometimes the form in the book is what you want to stick with.
Yeah, particularly in this race. Fitness can count for a lot, can't it, at this stage of the national season? So Present and Counting in the Jay Turner colours, or the Turner family colours. We've seen plenty of those for Willie Mullins and others.
Obviously, the Navy variant is Donald McCain's
set.
Set, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yellow and Willie's, green and Jesse's, isn't it?
Purple and Paul Hennessy's.
Yeah. Orange. Who has the orange ones?
Oh, it's maybe Paul Hennessy's the orange one as well. Sorry, I was thinking of the mare that won.
He is the orange, yeah.
Yeah, it was a Paul Nolan's mare. It's in the purple.
Yeah, it could be Paul Nolan's.
The Turner family anyway. So JT, of course, Billaway winning.
No reason you can't get 10 sets of colours.
No.
You know, stick a design in the front, and that's a good design to have, and then use them as you see fit. It's quite a good use of the silks there. It's not cheap to do it, but
I was going to say if you have the cash to do it, yeah, fire ahead. And that's two jumps race. That's it as far as ITV is concerned on Friday. We go back to the flat. York's 2-day meeting gets underway on Friday. They've got a really good sprint handicap on the Saturday, but we've got three races live on ITV4 on Friday featuring the Autumn Mile. Now we're going to go 6 places instead of 4 on paddybear.com for this. So, and it is 6 is the field, so it really is going to be a nice little each way race. Helm Rock Rock is your favorite for Daniel and Claire Kubler. Masters Offaly, Richard Fahey's got that one at 7-1. Northern Express for Michael Dodds at 8-1. Arthur's Realm, also that price. Empire State of Mind for John Quinn is 9-1. And the Safe Voyage Colours, as is Young Fire for David O'Mara. Always watch out for his horses at York. I'm going to go back to you, Ruby, for this wide open Autumn Mile.
It is wide open, and I'm going to take a chance on a horse that I think likes York, although his last run there was absolutely shocking, but at a big price, Cryve Turn. Now, off the back of a break, his record isn't marvellous. That's off the back of a long break, but off a short break like this, it's 50 days since he had a run. The last time he ran off the back of a break in or around that length was a 60-day break, and he reappeared and won. He's back down to a mark of 99. He did win here in May off 97 when he beat Brunch, albeit only by a head. But I know he goes around York, horses for courses. I'll take a chance on Cryve Turn.
Yeah, Cryve Turn has been tipped up a few times on the pod this season. Rory?
Yeah, I'd want to be with something at a reasonable price here. And I think the one that I'd like ran in the same race as Cryve Turn last time out as well. And that is Isla Kay. Again, you've got to forgive a couple of moderate runs, particularly last time out. But he's a horse who's fallen quite quickly in the weights, and the yard has come back to form in the last few weeks. Nigel Tinkler's horse is running well at the moment, which hasn't been the case for a lot of the season. So Isla Kay looked really promising at the start of the year and then just lost his form late summer. He was a good sixth in the Hunt Cup off a mark of 100 in the summer. And then he was fourth when favourite, and quite a hot favourite, for a very competitive handicap here, John Smith's Cup Day. It was the John Smith's Racing Handicap. And he was a little bit disappointing in only finishing fourth that day. But he's quickly down to a mark of 92 now. And with Faye McManaman claiming another three off him, Faye knows him well from home. And I thought Isla Kay could easily bounce back here. His last run was poor. His last run was a strange one because he's a 7-furlong/mile horse. And they stepped him up to an extended mile and a quarter at a stiff track at Doncaster last time out, which was never going to suit him. He ran poorly, clearly didn't stay the trip. But you can put a line straight through that because that experiment was never going to work. His previous start was that race, the Clipper Logistics Handicap, where he finished 8 lengths behind the winner. That was obviously a very, very good race, but he was disappointing that day. Again, making the running, but not able to find much when headed. I think he's liable to be in better form now with the yards horses coming back to form. And off a mark of 92 with Faye McManaman claiming three off him. Good draw for him in stall nine, I think. You can win from all over the track at York, but it's a little bit of an advantage to be drawn lowish if you want to go forward. I wouldn't want to be drawn in stall one, though. I think Helmrock's got quite a tricky draw there. Unless the field come across to the stands rail in the straight, which can make it an advantage to come from behind from a low draw. But often from stall one, you can just find that you're out of the traffic. And if they don't come stand side, you can just find yourself stuck on the rail with nowhere to go. So that was a slight concern for Helmrock. Otherwise, he's got a good profile. But Isla Kay at a big price could easily bounce back to form. The other one I'll throw in there, because I mentioned it before, Young Fire should be back to form here. The ground was quick enough for him last time out at Ascot. I'm surprised they ran him there, but he came back to form on softish ground at Haydock. When I tipped him, I think I napped him on the show in his previous start. I think he'll run well as well, but he's quite well found in the market at shorter odds, but he'd be the other one that I would potentially back in the race.
Okay, so Cryve Turn for Ruby, 12-1 at the time of recording. Isla Kay at 16-1, number 12 in the card there. That's a couple in that big each way betting race over at York 240, going six places on paddypower.com instead of four. 315 is a big one of these big sales races, 100 grand up for grabs in the 7-furlong sales race. And again, we're going to go an extra place. We're going four places. And that helps if you're taking on the favorite Streets of Gold, who is trained by Eve Johnson-Houghton and has won all four starts. So I'm going to go to Ruby first because Rory's going to tip up the Eve Johnson-Houghton horse. Ruby, your thoughts on the sales race?
Yeah, I'm going to take him on. It should have been a ring. Ran in the Mill Reef on his last start behind Sakir. Tried to make the run in that day at Newbury, and when Sakir came to him, I think Sakir just emptied, should have been a ring, and then should have been a ring faded, but I think this is a drop in class. I was at the Corrowan Streets, a gold one. I think the extra half a furlong will suit. Danny Tudhop takes over from Charles Bishop, but I think the drop in class will suit. Should have been a ring as well.
Should have been a ring. Currently 11-2 at the time of recording. Rory, go on.
I'm hoping that should have been a ring sets us up for Streets of Gold, because if you're going to have a concern, it's the wide draw. They're drawn in stalls 12 and 13. But I think should have been a ring could again be the pace angle in the race, or certainly will go forward from stall 12. And that will help Streets of Gold to get a good position. Because I think should have been a ring will sort of take the horses inside of him out of the equation early on. So Streets of Gold should be able to track him, because Streets of Gold will race prominently. I was impressed with how he did it at the Curragh, because he wasn't if memory serves, he wasn't particularly well drawn that day. And Charlie Bishop's had to use him up a fair bit. He was drawn in stall two. And they ended up coming across to the stands rail in the closing stages. So theoretically, that should have helped the horses drawn very high. But in the end, it was horses drawn 2, 5, and 6 who were first, second, and third. They were the English horses as well, it has to be said. Maybe they were just a little cut above in the day. But Streets of Gold had to race prominently and then made a big move so that he could get across to the rail and get that advantage. Charlie Bishop was keen that he wasn't mugged later on by something coming with a run up the rail. He will definitely stay 7 furlongs in that evidence. I thought he looked very strong in that race. And I think normally when you use that much of a horse up mid-race, you look vulnerable later on, but he still looked pretty strong at the finish. I think he'll progress for the step up to 7 furlongs. And that's, I suppose that's a slight question mark with should have been a ring, whether he really wants the 7th furlong. He's unproven over it. And the worry, I suppose, from my point of view, is if they're concerned about him staying, they might ride him in different style than they did at Newbury. And I could do with having a lead. Although I think Danny Tuttle will be wise enough to ensure he gets a good early position on Streets of Gold rather than getting hung out wide on the bend. I thought he looked really good when winning that nursery at York. I've mentioned that already because it's the one that... my selection for the Cornwallis came out of. That was Rogue Spirit, who was back in 7th that day. The form has worked out pretty well. Ramazan was placed in the million on his next start. Rogue Spirit obviously won that nursery at Haydock next time. And Streets of Gold, he got messed around a bit in the race. He was very short of room for a long way. I thought he showed real guts to get out that day and win that race and win it with a bit to spare. And I think he's a very good... I think he's a very good prospect, and the 7 furlongs will suit. And the soft ground, they're liable to get, because there's quite a lot of rain coming in on Friday to York. That will suit him as well. So it makes it hard for me to oppose him, even though he was trained by someone completely different.
He managed to get in there first. Yeah, Eve Johnson-Holton's going to have a fantastic Friday, according to Rory's Lark. Streets of Gold for Rory there, and Rubies, which should have been a ring. One more race to look at. The 350 at York is also live. It's a Heritage Handicap. It's 1.75 miles. And again, it's another extra place race. Topping the market, William Haggis, Kieran Fallon with Nathaniel Green. Looks like the same colours as commissioning. 13-2, A. Merrick for Roger Varian. 13-2, Adjuvant for Michael Bell. And Zane Knight's also same price, as is Double Cherry, who was tipped up when winning last time out. Am I right in saying, Rory, did you put that one up, didn't you?
Which one? Double Cherry?
Cherry, yeah.
I put Double Cherry up before, I put him up for his previous start. But I didn't. I went with a disappointing horse, Spaycaster, in that race. And they'd come out of the same race. And I like them both similar amounts, but came down in Spaycaster. He ran a stinker.
Yeah, I think
I'm going off these Highland reels. I don't like them at all.
Yeah, I think the Spaycaster project we can stick in the bin now. there's another costly horse here in Post Impressionist, who for so many, we will go back to Royal Alaska. Your thoughts on this race, Rory? Who wins it anyway?
This is probably the most interesting race of the day for lots of reasons. You'd be again. I'm never that keen on stall one at York because it always ends up being considered to be a positive draw. Sometimes can be a little bit tricky. That's where Nathaniel Green is. Should be less of an issue over 1.75 miles. He should handle soft ground being by Nathaniel, but he's unproven on it. But he's not been seen since July when winning that good 3-year-old handicap at Haydock. And the key to this race is the horses he had behind that day. He had Spaycaster back and forth. We can ignore that, obviously. Percy Jones in 51 next time out. Double Cherry back in 6th. Sea King, who obviously was doing the interfering At Haydock last time in the race, the Double Cherry one. Zimmerman back in eighth, who's won his last two. So essentially, the favourite's got the beating of a lot of these on that form. The question with him is, why has he been missing for over 3 months? I think he was being considered for the Melrose. Of course, the stable won the Melrose anyway. It may simply have been a case of swapping one horse for another on the day because they thought they had a better chance with Solcombe. And there's nothing wrong with Nathaniel Green, but it's a three month break and it's softer ground than he's raced on before. So a slight question mark at a short price, but he could be the ace in the pack. I do get that. Double Cherry did very well to win at Haydock last time out, having been quite badly hampered. But it's worth pointing out, I know that a few people have had their fingers burned in Post-Impressionist. I haven't yet. I've not backed him this season. But he should have won that race. That he finished third. But he was being leaned on by Sea King throughout the last, or most of the last furlong. And Adam Farrow, who rode him, gave up over 100 yards out. He basically stood up in the irons because he was short of room. There was not going to be a gap to come. And he's basically accepted his fate. And then 50 yards from home, they're all sort of treading water in front of him. And a gap finally appears. And he asked Post-Impressionist for a late effort. And he's beaten less than half a length at the line with his jockey unable to ride him for at least 100 yards. So for me, he ought to have won that race. What he did show there was that he stays a mile and three quarter. And I think the issue of Post-Impressionist earlier in the season was he was running over trips that were too short for him. The piece of form that made him really interesting was the novice he ran in at Newcastle, where he finished clear of the others. I say it wasn't clear that he finished second to Elder Elderov. Now that looks very good for him now. Of course, Elder Elderov immediately stepped up in trip. He shipped in much the same way, but he dropped back in trip. Well, he ran over a mile and a half at Ascot, Royal Ascot, and was quite well backed. Sent off 4-1 favourite for the King George V Stakes. Never, ever at the races that day. And he was, I didn't think he was that disappointing next time at Chester. I thought he shaped okay. He was beaten at odds on favourite, but that form of that race actually worked out quite well. And I've already mentioned Sheer Rocks was the winner of that race that day. So it ties in with my selection in the Old Rowley Cup. He then was, again, a little bit disappointing at Beverley, but that was a strong contest. That's one of the better handicaps run at Beverley all season, the Silver Cup, won by Kitsune Power. And, you know, that was not a terrible run. He just looked short of pace over an extended 9 furlongs. I thought he looked a lot better on slightly softer ground at Haydock last time out. Stepped up to a mile and three quarters. The ground's going to be softer again here, which I think will suit him and what I've seen of him. And a well-run race with no excuses gives him the opportunity to finally build on the promise he showed early in the season. So I think he is the one that I will be with in the race. Obviously, you can make the case that Double Cherry should beat him again because Double Cherry beat him last time and was very badly hampered. But I think Post-Impressionist, you watch that race again and just look at him, he's essentially been squeezed against the rail for much of the last part of the race. So this is the one time to back Post-Impressionist, in my view.
There may be a lot of people.
And then obviously if he wins this, then there may be times to back him in the future. But this will be my one go of the season on him.
How forgiving are you if you have been backing him all season? Post-Impressionist, 7-1 at the time of recording. Ruby?
I tend to agree with Rory. I think Double Cherry was hindered a long way down at Haydock, but does really well to win. But I think it gets by Post-Impressionist because Adam Farrer has to stop riding. Now, maybe it would have got by anyway, who knows? But I think they've just been getting it wrong with Post-Impressionist going back in trip when it clearly wants to, or looks like it wants to go out in trip. I think he's at the right distance. A big long straight in Haydock again, or in York, like Haydock. I think he's the most likely winner as well. And even when they got by the line in Haydock last week, when you look at Post-Impressionist, by the time they get to the bend to go away from the stands, he's a long way in front.
Might have to back. I haven't backed him either yet this season, so I think we might all go in, and then we'll all figure out how annoying it is when he's a fast finishing third. So that's Post-Impressionist, 2 votes, extra place race. That one. That's Friday covered, lads. Fair play. We've rattled through 10 races live on ITV. Before we say goodbye and talk about Saturday's action, which you can watch out for, or listen out for later. Best bets on this Friday. I'm going to go to you, Rory. I think I gave you what your nap is going to be anyway. So go on, give us your nap.
You think I'm going to go for Pogo or something trained by Eve Johnson-Houghton?
Well, this is, you mean that is about 75% of your selection. So,
I'm going to go for Post-Impressionist.
Win only,
yeah.
Oh, my word. Win only, Post-Impressionist. You'll live or die on that sort. Ruby, that's, by the way, in the 350 York, as we were just discussing. Ruby?
I'm going to go for Believing Each Way.
Believing, and that was in the
second race at Newmarket.
Also Sharp, which is the 225. So Believing Each Way in the 225, also knows the Also Sharp Stakes. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, free Punchdown tickets. Just quote tweet any tweet regarding any of the shows this weekend, including Fridays with Fran, or our look at Saturday's racing. Quote tweet FEHM, say something nice, and you go in the hat. Don't forget also Paddy's Pick 5 races, which I will reveal in Saturday's pod shortly. Actually, I can reveal right now. 2:40 York, 3 o'clock Newmarket, 3:15 York, 3:40 Newmarket, 4:25 York, all live on Racing TV. We'll discuss those in Saturday's edition. So stay tuned for that. Until then, see you then.